Welcome to the Fitness Tech Podcast, show number 38, recorded on July 14th, 2011. I am your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting from a very murky and a very hot Omaha, Nebraska, and posted live each week on theaverageguy.tv. You can contact the show. Just send us an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv, or find us on Facebook by searching for The Average Guy Network. You can also follow me on Twitter at Jay Collison. Joining me today is the trainer and kind of a short-timer trainer and running partner, Jamie Eichmeier. Jamie, how are you today?
Good. How are you, Jim?
I am doing well. It's a kind of a yucky day outside.
It kind of is.
I've moved all my running indoors just because it's that time of the summer when everything's
hazy
ugly.
And humid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Jamie, you're going to be changing roles here at Gallup here.
I am.
In the next week, although it keeps getting extended.
Yes, because I keep extending it.
It was
like, no, I'm not ready.
It was supposed to be last Friday, and then it's this Friday, but now it's next Tuesday.
Well, next Tuesday, it's not for work. It's just for fun.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but officially, you're transitioning home with your children starting Friday. Right. Yeah, we'll have to
Friday
figure out.
Friday after 5 p.m.
It's been nice. It's been great having you on campus because it makes these podcasts easy to do. You know, we get together at lunch, sit down, knock them out. But we'll have to figure out a different way to do that here in the future. So
we'll get it done.
Either via Skype or maybe we go live and we can do some video. We did video last night on the home server show. We're going to do video tonight for the home tech show. Mm-hmm. And so we got some good technology going on, and we're making it.
I just set up my own Blogspot now, so I'm going to work
on
vlogging.
So what is that?
Training notes from the machine.
Wow. Trainingnotesfromthemachine.blogspot.com.
Right.
Yes.
Wow. Yep. Mm-hmm.
From the machine. I like that. Right. Well, with us today is also David Sievers. David, how are you doing today?
Hello, both of you.
Thanks for joining us, Dave.
Thank you.
Good to have you back. We had you back on podcast 22. I just made that up. I have no idea if that's right. we had you back, 8 weeks ago. It was a while ago. We talked a little bit about the preparation for your Ironman coming up. Ironman Canada, Ironman Vancouver, Ironman.
There's a Tipton.
Yeah, there you go. But they're really calling it Ironman Vancouver, right?
Ironman Canada. I think.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a big country. Well, that's the only Ironman they do.
They just added a new one for next year, actually, in I think the Montreal area. Wow. But the Penticton version has been around for quite a while. So that's the original.
Good.
Wow.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that, and excited for you. That's coming up here in the next 30 days, and you had a, is that right? 30?
Approximately,
no.
About
45
six and
days.
A half weeks.
Yeah.
7 weeks.
45 days. End of August, right?
Yeah.
Great. And if folks wanted to get information on that Ironman and wanted to see what we were talking about, I assume they have some kind of website that you probably check
on
a daily basis.
Google Ironman. You might get the movie, but Ironman Canada would get you there for sure.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Well, good. Well, Dave, thanks for coming. So, Jamie, in this transition that you're making, we're going to still try and get you on and do the podcast, and you'll be doing some blogging. And you know, you can still blog at The Average Guy, too. I mean,
I plan on doing that, too.
That's good.
Watch out for those.
we have you out there. And so we wish you the best of luck as you do that. I won't get to see you every day.
I know.
Which will kind of be sad.
But hopefully every weekend. For runs.
Yeah, some runs.
Yeah.
We'll get some runs in, and if you're here in the Omaha area.
In the events.
Yeah, some races coming up. We got Corporate Cup. That's the big event. The registration just opened for that.
Right.
Benefits the American Lung Association. I'll let listeners know I'm actually trying to raise money for that this year. You know, typically we just run that. And I thought, what the heck? If I'm going to run it, I might as well raise some money for it. So I'll put a link in the show notes to the fundraising site if you want to go out $1, $5, $10, whatever. You can contribute, and that'll go right into the fund. I don't get anything for that, right?
No,
it's not.
It's all for the American Lung Association.
Just for the American Lung Association, and I know Gallup pays for our entry fee into that.
Yes.
And is there a goal for Gallup this year?
To get as many runners and walkers as possible. Last year we had 99 finishers, and the goal this year would be like 150.
Yeah, I think I think we need to pick up walkers. That's the key. Yeah, I think that's the next. A segment of individuals that we've got a lot of runners doing it. We may have maxed our per capita running folks.
Right.
You're only going to get so many out of, you know, we're not going to get all 600 on the campus to run it.
No.
Right? So we probably need to work on
the
walkers.
I mean, it's only 2 mile walk, so.
Yeah. I'll have to get with Wolfie. Mm-hmm. We'll have to push the 2 mile walk.
Yes.
You did it 1 year, right?
Last year I did the 2
really?
Mile. I was injured. So I did
that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I grabbed everyone I could to walk with me because I'm like, you could do a 2 mile walk. you know, and bring the family. You could push, you know, your dog if you wanted to, or your kids, and it's perfect. It's for everyone. It's for the whole family, and it's a great time.
It
they
is.
Had how many people? 10,000 was there last year?
I think just over 10 or 11, and I think they're thinking maybe 15 this year is their goal. So if you're wondering what we're talking about, Google Omaha Corporate Cup, and you'll get an opportunity to see that. And it's a very reasonable race if you just want to run it on your own.
It's $15 just to participate.
Yeah, that's it. And chip timing, and there's a whole bunch of people out there, and the Orpheum, or not the Orpheum, but the Civic Center is open for that event. And
on the inside of the Civic, they have a lot of different vendors who gives away a lot of free stuff. You can get a lot of free food, free cereal. Even in the basement, there's a lot of free stuff. And then afterwards, after the event, there's still giveaways too.
Awesome. Dave, is Corporate Cup on your schedule for this year?
It is after the Ironman. If I have anything left in the tank, I hope to have a good effort. If there's nothing in the tank, I hope to have an effort.
Just go out and have
some
fun.
Kind. Yeah.
Right? Just run it for fun.
It's flat and fast. So
It is.
An out and back course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of out and back. It doesn't exactly come back the same way that you come in. You take a few different roads as you get close to the finish line. But a little bit of an incline, just a smidge, maybe 25 feet of an incline there at the very end.
It's there.
Yeah.
Right as you're coming up to the finish line, you make that left-hand turn and you come in. That's how I know I'm close, and I'm always sick as I come down because I'm thinking, I got to go up that hill, and I just feel like, you know.
Well, and you and I are running it together
this year. Yeah, yeah. The goal is to just keep up with you. We'll see how it goes. My training hasn't been the best.
And by the way, I've run that one every year except for one, I think, since Gallup moved to Omaha. And if I could harken back and add my congratulations and best wishes to you, Jamie, on your transition. When I first started working out here at Gallup Fitness Center day one, compared to today, I was about 20 pounds heavier. And my 10K time was probably at least 18 minutes slower than roughly. So I'm just
saying,
I didn't come out of the womb an Ironman. And you know, there are ebbs and flows during life. And that was either an ebb or flow. I'm not sure, but it was a low point. And hey, you, Jamie, and then Ryan, and everybody else that passed through the fitness center, like you, Jim, and kind of spurred me on to great things since that day. But anyway, good luck to you. And,
thank you, Dave.
Hope to celebrate with you out on the course this year. So
thank you. It's been so much fun training with you and Jim and everyone. And everyone's so nice. And I mean, it's fun motivating people because then we can motivate each other and. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be hard.
Yeah, Jamie, you and I have talked a lot about this before, but the key here at Gallup, right, is the group
yes.
fitness culture. And so if you're listening, you don't work for Gallup and you work somewhere else, obviously, you can develop that fitness culture in the place that you work. It takes some effort, but
it
we
does.
Work really hard at it. You don't even have to have trainers to do it. There's groups of us that get together on the weekends to run, and that's not necessarily spurred on by our trainers. You guys don't tell us we have to do that.
Right.
You know, Dave, you've gathered a crowd around you to help you get ready for the Ironman, and you guys are doing bricks, and you're riding and swimming on the weekends, and so you know you got to kind of take charge of your own fitness at that point, and say if you're going to do this, you don't have to do it alone. Gather some folks, schedule the stuff on Facebook. We've talked about how the technologies in the past to how to get this done. It's hard, but it's not that hard.
Right, having a friend hold you accountable is the way to go. Because doing it by yourself, it's just like, you know, pulling teeth. It's so hard and. It's hard to get motivated, but when you join a friend and a group of friends and people you like to hang out with, then it makes it so much easier, and it's a great social aspect as well, besides just physical.
Yeah, right on. Mm-hmm. And you know, Dave, you've inspired folks here at Gallup as well. I mean, you're one of our favorite guests to have here because your story has been one of continually pushing it, and you have been very open to you trained me a lot. You ran with me a lot when we first got started. And you know, I was slow and I know I'm slow and I am the 20 pounds heavier that you used to be. Right. So, and I've got, you know, I struggle with my weight. I'm the guy who can eat a donut and it doubles in calories as it's going into me. It's tough. And I'm a big guy, you know, I'm a middle linebacker. That's what I always say. And so it's tough, but I've appreciated, you know, your investment into me. And into the community and what we do from a fitness perspective. That's the important stuff that happens. It's encouraging folks to go out and do a run or be showing up when they are racing or any of those kinds of things.
Yeah. And it's amazing. I remember, Dave, like you did your first Ironman and it was like unheard of to even do Ironmans. And now like you won't believe how many people have been doing, you know, triathlons and ultimately they want to do an Ironman. But like, wow, that's just for Dave because he's so elite. But I want to get there someday. And
yeah, I never thought I could do it. And yeah, you just start small and just keep chipping away. And it is great to see other runners, walkers, whoever they wherever they come from, just start, okay, I'll try a sprint triathlon maybe. And
right.
And there have been so many great stories over the past couple, 3 years that, yeah, have just inspired me during my training. And so, and by the way, the Gallup Fitness Center is like the Kevin Bacon of fitness centers. You talked about the groups I'm running with, training with now, but you can trace them all back kind of through the Gallup Fitness Center.
Yes.
And the people that I've met through here. So, yeah, again, thanks for your leadership. And,
oh, cool. Yeah. Thank you, Dave.
That's great. Well, let's talk a little bit about your effort coming up. We mentioned this again about 6-8 weeks ago, and you were getting ready. Certainly, I've been tracking your training through Facebook and just I see every day, so we talk about it. Mm-hmm. But tell me a little bit about where you're at right now, what your workouts have been, how they've progressed, how you feel about being 6 weeks away from the Ironman?
Sure. You know, you have to sign up for full Ironman races a year in advance, which is bad because of the planning aspects, but it's good because all of a sudden now, you know, you're kind of on the clock, and I've been training for whatever, a year, less 7 weeks, whatever it is. But I have a great base underneath me, which, you know, you're out there and you're doing a run or you're doing a bike or whatever, and you're going, the race pops into your mind, the upcoming race, and you're like, can I do this? And the answer mentally is just a stream of workouts, you know, starting almost a year ago that pop into my mind and give me confidence. And right now, in the toughest part of the training, it's just, you know, feeling like it's the highest volume, doing centuries, 100-mile bike rides. This weekend we've got a 20-mile run, our first one. Swim is pretty consistent between, you know, 2,000 and 3,500 meters per workout, so that's always up there. But it's, you know, at this point, feeling confident, but always tired, always feeling a little worn out, always a little sore at this stage of the game. But knowing that in a few weeks can hit that taper and just go from there. So that's where I'm at with training right now.
The glorious taper.
Ah.
That's my favorite part of working out, by the way, is when it comes down to the taper. What have you been doing or how have you handled your nutrition over the last 4 weeks? Certainly, you're at the peak of your endurance training right now. It's gonna peak out in the next week or two, and then you'll begin that taper down. How have you compensated from a nutrition standpoint?
You know, training is the opportunity to practice what you're going to eat on race day, see what works, what doesn't work. And you'd think you could wing that on race day. I've learned that you can't. In 08 and a half iron, I winged it, and I don't even remember how great a job I did during the bike, and then the run at some point I just gave up because I couldn't. You know, you just have to, at the slightest hint of hunger or the slightest hint of, you know, low blood sugar, if you're just getting frustrated or mad or ready for it to be done, it's a red flag. You have to pay attention and just eat, especially on the bike. And so in training, I've just been practicing less with what to eat because I've sort of found what works for me, but more with just that repetitive, you know, rolling buffet on the bike, for example. And I've got a watch that, you know, I'm timing the race, but I also have an interval timer going off every 15 minutes as a reminder, okay, time to eat or drink or both. And so just, you know, rolling that watch during workouts and just having pockets full of food, PBJ, shot blocks, you know, of course, Gatorade-type products, rehydrate by Advocare is what works for me.
I love that stuff.
Yeah,
it's good.
You know, the drink that they're going to have on the race course is called Ironman Perform. I think that is, gosh, I'm not sure which company even makes that. The branding always confuses me, but I've been, you know, experimenting with that specific drink as well, since you can bring some of your own stuff, but then you have to rely on what they provide as well. It's up to you. You don't have to, but, you know, if you happen to launch your bike bottles, as Jody did yesterday, in a, you know, on a rough spot on the bike, then now you're for sure reliant on what they have. So you want to make sure that it does well in your stomach, or at least sort of acclimate to it. So that's the bulk of what I've been doing lately, is just, you know, doing a lot of eating and working out at the same time, although not during the swim. So
would you say take your carbs over your protein, or are you still keeping higher protein with carbs, or how are you doing that?
Wow, that's a great question. The only thing numbers-wise, I should think about the protein more, and I think it's a factor, but I couldn't tell you what percentage it is. The only thing I did, and I blogged about it a number of weeks, if not months ago, on wingslikeeagles.blogspot.com, I believe.
Yeah, good. Good pimp there.
Thanks, if that's even it. But somewhere in there, I calculated using web-based tools how many calories I might need given my projected finishing time, you know, my body composition, et cetera, on and on. Figured out how many calories I might need, and then said, okay, what are the kinds of things I've been practicing with, and looked up, okay, how many calories are these exactly, and how much am I eating now, and will that, you know, be sufficient to replace my deficit on race day? And so I just went through food by food and just, you know, kept a tally and added it all up. And so I revisited that actually last night, and, it's part of the battle plan, just along with setting out running shoes, is exactly how many gels am I going to tape to my bike, how many am I going to put in my pocket, in my special needs bags, which are things you can pick up halfway through the bike, halfway through the run, whatever you want to put in there. But I know that for one thing, I've got peanut butter filled pretzels from Trader Joe's, so there's a little
Ooh.
Protein. I should really look into that though and see just, mm-hmm. you know, what kind of, are they quality calories, or are they just calories? And they feel like they're quality because they're working during training, but I should probably pay attention to that as well, which is exactly what's in there.
Hmm. And then has your sleep changed at all? Do you feel like you're sleeping more now, or do you take naps on the weekend?
It's,
you know, that's a lot of energy.
It is. This is the point where I really need to pay attention to that. It is tougher to sleep right now because the training days are longer, so everything, that's where maybe a sacrifice might happen. Or I should really schedule a nap once a week, you know, maybe on my rest day, because that's important in not getting sick or injured down the home stretch. So mm-hmm. you're right. This is about the time to start thinking about that. So I probably should start.
I store enough calories that I could probably make it through an Ironman without eating.
Right.
Now I really couldn't do that. Right.
No,
but from a weight perspective, how do you feel about your weight right now? Where you're at, because I know during this kind of training cycle, it's really, really difficult to gain weight.
It is.
How do you feel about where
you're at? You know, I set a weight goal that I wanted to be at by race day, and I actually achieved that goal probably 2 months ago, and which was a little concerning because then I dropped down a little bit below that since.
A weight goal that was up from where you wanted to be?
It was down from where I was, okay. But it was approximately equal to where I was in 08 during my first Ironman, and
okay.
I figured, okay, it worked then, so maybe it would work again. I do log my weight every, maybe once a week, sometimes once a month, but, you know, and chart that. So I can look back on the clipboard and go back to 07 probably and see where I've been. But since I hit my race goal, you know, well in advance, then I thought, okay, well, I want to focus on eating enough so that I don't go too far down. And then I got a little leaner. My body fat percent has gone down a little bit more, and I've pretty much maintained the weight. So I think I'm going in the right direction. But it's, again, I've only done one full Ironman, and the day can be so crazy. You just never know what can happen. I mean, I had friends who have lost over 20 pounds during a race because they lost track of their nutrition. So you want to make sure you're in as safest place as possible with that weight. I don't, you know, I set out for a 144. I'm at about 140 right now. You know, is that going to come back to haunt me? Am I, you know, do I not have the stores that I need? Hopefully 4 pounds or whatever, 3 pounds. Won't make a difference. I'm trying to get it up just a little bit, but again, it's wherever I'm at, it's all about replacing, you know, fueling up leading to race day, and then on race day itself is just, you know, just eating all day. So, but I feel good about it right now, I think.
How many days a week do you weight train?
In the winter, in the off season, it is 2 to 3. You know, I'll do circuits here at Gallup, which is sort of a fun substitute. I did P90X during the winter, which was another different thing that just kept my interest level up, and then tried to hit the weight room as well. Mondays are supposed to be weight training days, just, you know, down the stretch here during the competitive phase, pre-competitive and competitive phase. And I was just talking to somebody about this yesterday that I haven't been in the weight room on my scheduled day at all. I've done every single other workout that I was supposed to do, 95% of them anyway, but I've not done the weights down the stretch. And for me, that's okay. It's an experiment where I can say, all right, if it doesn't work out this year, then all right, I really need to add that back in next time. But I also, you know, the rest is just so important to me. The weekends are tough training weekends. And Mondays, I've just felt most of the time like I need to rest, and that does not include a weight session, and I'm okay with it. I've had to be smarter and listen to my body as I get older, and so that's just one of those things that I've decided, all right, I had great weight workouts during my base training period. I feel like I'm getting some strength from swimming in my upper body. My legs are obviously strong from my, you know, run-specific and bike-specific things, namely running and biking. So I felt like I was just going to risk injury, sickness, and maybe burnout by getting in there and just adding an extra thing in. So I've actually let them go. But on Google Docs, I have all my workouts that I plan out for a year, and I put green in the cells where I complete the workout, yellow if I complete part of them, and red if I don't. And so a lot of red on Mondays, green everywhere else. So I'm accountable for it. I know what I've done and haven't done. But there's a lot of green, and I'm feeling good, and I'm feeling strong despite that lack of weight workouts on Mondays. Oh,
that's awesome.
You mentioned Google Docs. What other kinds of technologies? I mean, certainly you're using Google Docs to keep track of your stuff. You can get to it from anywhere, right? What other kind of technology are you using in your training?
Google Docs, really quick, has been great because my wife and I are on similar, if not the same, training schedule, and so we can both look at that and make notes and share that resource. I think I mentioned last time I used my FitnessPal to track my nutrition there for a while. I stopped using it once I met my weight goal, but I had a really good data set, if you will, of exactly what I was taking in, not only just in terms of calories, but you know, you can break it down in terms of sugar and this or that vitamin or what have you. That was a great web resource. And of course, I experimented. I can't remember if I mentioned this last time, but a Garmin FR60 is the timing device that I've been using. It's non-GPS, and it's been an experiment. I was encouraged by what I read on, if you Google DC Rainmaker, he's got some great product reviews of various Garmin devices, and I think other than Garmin as well. And he's a triathlete himself, so it's a great triathlon blog. But from what I read on that site, I decided to take the plunge on the FR60, and it's been good. I'd give it about a B in that sometimes it tracks your speeds and distance and things with an accelerometer. And sometimes if I, you know, a little thing on my shoe, and if I run at slightly faster speeds, it's not as accurate. But if my normal everyday running pace, it does a pretty good job, close enough. And if I am running somewhere between, let's just say, 7:30s and 9:30s or something, it's right there with the GPS, kind of scary. But I've enjoyed the heart rate monitoring aspects of this device just to get some data and see.
Is that a strap?
It's a strap. Okay. Yeah.
That just kills me. I just so wish I could get an accurate one that would just be in the watch.
Yeah, you're right. And that's, I haven't worn it lately. Partially because of that, and partially just because I have enough odd tan lines as it is being a triathlete.
Yeah, another. Yeah, odd I just tan can't. It bothers me to wear a tech compression shirt at times because of the tightness. So I'm a little sensitive to that. And I've always worried that strap, you know, right at that level would really really bother me.
Yeah.
So I haven't done that, but
I would never consider it in a race either. And there's no multi-sport mode on it. You can't just, with a button click, go from swimming to biking as others might do, other Garmins. And you can't measure distances in the swim with it. And I don't know that you can with other Garmin devices either. But although I wanted to try something I'd read on that DC Rainmaker site, and basically put a swim cap on, then stick your Garmin GPS on your head, then put a second swim cap on so it's sort of sealed in there, and measure the swim course in that way. Because often swim courses just don't seem accurate. It's not, there are no stamped, you know, distances like on a running trail. You wonder.
Right.
And and sometimes you wonder, even if it is accurate, just how far did I swim in my weaving and bobbing through?
That's right, because it may go wide. You may go wide in some spots. You may cut in some spots. They've got a buoy. That buoy can move probably 25 or 30 feet.
It may, depending on the
water and the wind.
And the conditions, you're right.
Yeah, waves and such. So that's interesting. That's very interesting, Dave. I mean, of course, you know, we're fitness tech, so we talk a lot about tech. I never thought about throwing that GPS in an extra layer.
Interesting.
Yeah, I might try tonight. There's a practice swim this evening at Lake Cunningham. The Omaha Triathlon's coming up. Number of friends doing that one, and so might measure that course and as an experiment.
Dave, you follow any other triathletes or Ironman athletes? I know Tim O'Donnell has been a U.S. triathlete that I followed just because we interviewed him at CES last January.
Nice.
Tim just competed in Ironman Texas, and I watched Universal Sports, you know, is really good about showing those. Tim took second, so congratulations, Tim. I know he probably doesn't listen to the podcast, but that's pretty cool. Do you follow any other athletes in training, their blogs, those kinds of things?
I do and I don't. When I was growing up, I started as a runner, and so I got Runner's World, and I had some pretty old issues, and one of my favorites is the 1984 Olympic issue, and you know, Joan Benoit Samuelson and other runners like that, first women's marathon gold medalist. When I first paid attention to triathlon, it was, of course, Dave Scott Tinley, and way back in the day. Right now, I don't know what it is. I should follow it more closely, and maybe it's just that in my old age I'm not as good with names, but if I see a face, I know, you know, I can tell you that Norman Stotler, he won Ironman in 04 and 06. He just recently, maybe yesterday even, went into the hospital for a leaky heart valve and some things. So I kind of, some of these names seem familiar. And of course, on the women's side, Chrissy Wellington, right? Is that the right name? Again, names.
No, you're good.
You know, you see her just smiling and winning Ironman World Championships all the time, and she actually has been in Kansas at the Kansas 70.3 Half Iron for at least the last 2 years. She was down there. We saw her this year when we competed in, and just to see her, not only, well, she got off the bike and I think second place, if I remember right, from hearing about it, and then just blew everyone away on the course.
Yeah, just smiling. A machine.
And then, of course, crossing that yellow brick road carpet they have down there in Kansas, and then handing out medals to, you know, as many finishers as she could until almost the end of the race. I mean, I finished the race, got cleaned up, went back around to cheer some more people, and she was still out there handing out medals. So you see somebody like that that's a great athlete, but also, you know, maybe her K-Swiss sponsorship requires her to do that, maybe, but she seemed like she was having a great time, and she was bringing a lot of smiles.
She didn't seem to be that way, that she would do it just for a sponsorship.
Right. I mean, she made a lot of
people pretty engaged.
Happy.
Before she did triathlons, she did some overseas work to help countries that are struggling with their quality of water put in wells.
Nice.
And so she had done that for a couple years and came back and started competing. And I don't think she even started at it necessarily with the goal of being number one in the world. At the Ironman distance, proven in her 3-time wins in Kona. But she's just a great athlete. So it was a surprise. I think it was a surprise for her that she would do as well as she's done. But you know, there's Universal Sports has kind of changed the equation because they show sporting events that wouldn't normally make ABC, NBC, CBS, or Fox.
Right.
And so triathlons are one of those. Ironman is one of those. And so if you're ever wondering what it's like and you haven't done that, go pop over to Universal Sports. Hopefully your cable provider has that. And I just DVR it. I just put triathlon or Ironman into the DVR, and it just finds any time it's played, and then I watch that. I find it very inspirational to watch it. I don't know why. That's just me. But I watch one of those things. If I'm struggling with my workouts, I watch one of those things. Man, I want to go out and run 100 miles when I'm done. It gets me all pumped up.
Yeah, I just head over to YouTube and watch a 2-minute promo clip of, if this week it was the 2007 World Championships, and I don't even, you know, 30 seconds into it, you got that underwater view of the swimmers just treading water before the start, and my eyes just start leaking, and it gets me going.
Yeah, it gets you pretty pumped up and pretty excited to get out on the Get out on the course. I was inspired to run by, I watched a Nova special on some folks getting ready for the Boston Marathon, and they all finished. They're non-athletes, and they all finished. And I thought, well, darn it, if those guys can run a marathon, I can run a marathon. And
that's
so,
right.
Yeah.
And you've been. Nice.
Yeah, I came in the next day. Actually, Jamie, you were a big part of that because I came in the next day. Ryan was out, and I said, Jamie, I watched that on a Sunday, and I came in Monday. And I said, Jamie, I'm going to run. And I've been telling you guys for a long time that I would never run. I'm not a runner. I'm too big. You know, I hate running, blah, 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 right? And I'm sure you guys hear that from people all the time. I'm not a runner.
Yes. Look at me. Am I a runner?
I hear that in the fitness center a lot when you're training people for the first time or you're doing the orientation.
Yeah.
I'll be in there working out and I'll hear them say, well, I'm not really a runner, right? Everybody's kind of anxious about that. But that kind of broke the ice for me watching that special, seeing some other folks do it. Dave, one of the things I know you're really good at that I'll encourage people to do as well is go to races when you're not racing and watch and encourage maybe a friend's doing it. Just go, maybe if you don't even know anybody, just go and volunteer.
Yeah.
Go and watch, take some pictures. Go and, you know, if you've got a friend running it, do that. I know you do that quite a bit. I've seen you do that. I've seen the pictures that you do. I think that means a lot to go out and see that. So if you're struggling with your fitness, go hang out at one of these things. You'd think demotivating.
Oh, yeah.
It's totally not.
It is. Well, there's a lady here who never worked out in the fitness center, wouldn't even walk in. And now she's lost like a ton of weight, looks like a totally different person, has ran half marathons. I'm sure she'll run marathons, and she is doing awesome.
Wow. And both my wife, Jody, and I, our goal is always to volunteer at at least as many races that we race at per year. Not the same one, obviously, but if we compete in four races, then, you know, volunteer at four races or more that year.
That's a great
awesome
formula.
Yeah.
I never thought of it that. I need to do more of that. Papillion is coming up on Papillion Tri, right? Is that a sprint?
It is.
It's coming up on Sunday. And I've got a run scheduled for that morning. But that was one of those opportunities. I'm like, darn it. So maybe I need to look at the Omaha Tri.
They do need volunteers for that still, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And so appreciated. I mean, you cannot do a race without the volunteers.
Right.
That's true.
And you know, and you see these people on you know, coming out of the water or on the road, and, you know, angels, every one of them, really, especially the longer the race gets or the harder it is. It's just, yeah, very needed and very rewarding from both sides.
It's a great feeling, too. I'll just be honest, that volunteer work, and then, you know, well, first of all, you know, you don't have to do the work,
right.
The run, right?
Oh, yeah.
But you're helping them out. I come away from those kinds of events 100 more times charged up than I would if I ran the event. It's one of those things where giving is definitely better than receiving.
Yeah.
And let me encourage folks, if they're not, you know, if you're not currently in or you're struggling with your fitness, find a local race and volunteer for it. I think that might be something that gets you fired up pretty quick.
Definitely.
Get your priorities in line. Dave, anything else as you get ready here? I had high hopes of actually traveling out there with you. I had a wedding about 3-4 weeks ago. It just kind of wiped me out financially. And so we'll stay home. We'll try and follow you there. But any other thoughts before you head into maybe we'll try and get you back on the podcast right before the race as you go in. But
sure.
Any other thoughts?
Well, you know, with all due respect to Chrissy Wellington, Chris Lieto, et cetera, it's the people I battle with, that I train with. So stories like yours, Jim, stories like whoever this person is that you mentioned, Jamie, started running and things. It's just those are the stories that really inspire me and, you know, that get me through the day and get me through these tough times down the stretch here. What can I say?
Not good.
And how you're inspiring everyone here, like, wow, look at Dave, you know, here he is doing another Ironman, the second one, maybe your third, I don't know.
It's second full, yeah, and had
second
the
full.
Half iron in Kansas. That was my second half, both in Kansas, and that was actually a confidence builder. I PR'd by 35 minutes, just had a great day, felt really strong, and so that was a big moment since the last time we talked, just that, you know, I kind of felt, all right, maybe I just got lucky today, but I also felt like my hard work's paying off, and
oh, for sure.
Again, raced with a bunch of friends who are training for their first Ironman, and some who've done quite a few, and it's just fun to be in the mix with everyone this year. And again, I never thought that I would be able to do an Ironman. I dreamt about it, you know, even as a kid many years ago, and I just kind of put it on the back burner, and you know, one thing led to another, and 08 did my first one. Even after having done that one, even, you know, down the stretch here in this one, I'm not sure I could do it again. It's going to be a tougher course. The last one is flat and fast. This one has two mountain passes. It could be hailing. It was last year at the top of one of them. And then, you know, you've got to ride down in possibly dangerous conditions, and, you know, you're concerned about just, you know, not drowning, not wrecking, just getting to the run, really. It's all pretty scary. I don't know if I could do it. Just like someone who's never even thought about doing it until maybe they've heard this interview today or seen something on Universal Sports. I don't know if I could do that, or I don't know if I could do a 10K. Hey, you just got to go out there, set some goals, take a shot, and see what happens, and have fun doing it if you can.
Yeah, it's good advice.
That's awesome.
Maybe start with a 2-mile walk on the Corporate Cup.
That's right.
You know, this fall.
Finishing your first race, you know.
It starts there. Yeah, you don't have to, Jamie. You and I have been big proponents about starting easy, and I think some folks feel like they've got to run a marathon out the chute. And, you know, my first goal was just to get 2 miles without stopping.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to 3, which led to 7 and so forth. And so my first half marathon took me by surprise. I didn't even, the day I went out to run it, intended to run 6. We ended up running 12 and a little bit more, and had a half marathon under my belt without really even knowing it. So sometimes those things creep up on you, and you're ready to go. So, well, Jamie, Dave, thank you for coming and being part of the podcast today. And we'll again follow. I'm glad we could follow up now. We'll follow up again with you as we get either right before or maybe right after.
Sure, great.
And I'll be interested to hear, you know, certainly want to talk through your experience and how it felt and when you blacked out and those kinds of those kinds of race things that are very cool. I know you and I spent some time talking about your Florida experience, and I'm very intrigued by those stories. It's just, you know, you put your body through a lot that day, and it's really more of a mental test at times than it is a physical test, but this one is a very strong physical test as well.
It's both, that is for sure.
Yeah. Well, Dave, thanks for coming in. Jamie.
Thank you, Dave.
That's great. Yeah. We have a transition to do here coming up, so I have no idea where the Fitness Tech Podcast will go. Certainly, we broke off. You know, Carrie and I are doing the Spartan Radio with Maria, and that podcast is doing really, really well. You can check that out, spartanradio.podomatic.com. And if you want to go out, that podcast actually tripled on its first show, anything I've ever done on the Average Guy Network. It's crazy. So we talk about Spartan racing and obstacle course racing and have interviewed some of the folks. They just recently went through a death race, which is a 36 or 40-hour kind of an exercise in stupidness. I'll just be honest with you. They move a lot of rocks. They chop a lot of wood. They hike around carrying a lot of wood. They march up mountains. They march down mountains. It's kind of a day. It's really an endurance test, right? It's hard to train for. You don't know what's coming up. At one point, they had to memorize some scripture, some Bible scripture at the top of the mountain, and then walk down the mountain, recite it to somebody at the bottom.
Wow.
If they got it wrong, they had to walk back up the mountain, start again.
Oh, my gosh.
Right, carrying or dragging a log or something like that. So it's really a mental test. I mean, it is sure physical endurance. A little bit different. You train a little. You have a defined set of goals that you're looking for in the triathlon. These guys go into these races, they have no idea what they're up against.
Whoa.
And so it's kind of crazy. But and so Jamie, you and I'll have to figure this out over the next couple weeks.
Right.
And so if you're listening to the recorded version of this, which everybody will be, you will you'll want to just kind of keep your eyes open for the next podcast. We'll have to figure out. Technology will change a little bit in how we bring you in.
It will.
No longer here in the studio, but we'll have to do it via Skype or something like that.
Right.
I'll remind folks that if they want to send us an email with ideas, suggestions, good praises, we don't like the negative stuff, so don't send that stuff in. podcast@theaverageguy.tv. Again, you can find us on Facebook just by searching for The Average Guy Network, and find us on Twitter. Easiest way to do that on Twitter is just follow me, Jay Collison, and a lot of times I'll talk about the shows and what's coming up and what we're doing. We'll do it all again next time. I have no idea when next time will be, so we'll give it. Hopefully, maybe we can get some things going in a week or two, and get you figured out. And Dave will catch up with you whenever we pull it together, either just before or after the Ironman. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
As you go,
sounds good.
You're gonna do awesome, Dave.
Thanks.
You're
Thanks.
Ready.
All right.
Appreciate it.
We'll see you next time on the Fitness Tech Podcast.
Thanks.